Let's see. So this is just a variable that will get replaced. So what actually happens is this variable will get replaced with event on event. This generates an event. This is an event command. This generates the event with name on event and then all the other stuff. So you will have a plugin in your event manager that watches the on event event. And that plugin, you tell it to whenever you receive the event, the loading is finished, spawn this script. This is just a variable that gets expanded to. Actually, it supports multiple directories. It's a bit like the path variable. You can search for the script in multiple locations. Anyway, so whenever load finish event happens, it spawns that script. What's that script? Very simple. First, you define a file name. In my case, it's an XDG data home using a list view. And you just echo the current date. Then these are magic variables, the 6 and the 7 arguments for this script, because Usable will always automatically append some parameters to your script. So these are just the page title and the URL. You just write this to a text file. This way, whenever a page is loaded, you just have new entry in a very simple plain text file. Now, if you want to see your history, or if you want to pick an entry from your history to go back to the page, then you can first define e-binding. C-bind, this is just a variable that expands to a command that says, in command mode, I want this key, capital U, to spawn this script. And what this script does is also very simple. Find where your history entries are. You cut the file in reverse order using Turk, so that way you see your most recent entries first. You pipe to the vmenu, which is by the way an awesome tool. You should all use it, especially in JSON. Vmenu, you just pipe lobster into its input, then you can select an entry. This is just how it works. You just pipe stuff to standard input, you can select an entry with your keyboards, and it will emit to standard output what you have chosen. Then you just strip off like the dates or the page title, so you just hit the URL part. And then you write into the key code, because this is the fourth argument, that's usable to automatically append to your command. Just write there the URI command and then whichever URL you've just chosen. Alright? This is how you go to a new page. So even though in practice you don't have like this nice URL bar like in other browsers, many people often wonder why is this? Why is it so hard for me to change which URL to go to? Actually, it is not hard. You just need to define like a key binding like this, or you can actually use the bar at the bottom to load the current URL. There's a shortcut for that too, and then you can edit it and automatically go to it by pressing the right key binding. So this is how it looks like pretty much. This is actually a patched version of dmenu, because dmenu by default puts everything on one line. Actually, they changed this now in version 3 or 4 or whatever. I'm not sure if it works very well, but anyway, I still use the old patched version. So you just see all your URLs with the date and the page title should be also there at the end. So when you press enter, for example, on this, you will change the page to there. Bookmarks, very simple story. You just have a plain text file with all your bookmarks. You can make a key binding that writes your bookmark into the text file, and you can also choose from them in the menu or whatever you want to use. So this is the link hitting. Basically, you just press FL. You can change the info, it's just the default. Puts numbers on all the links, and then you can press the number and it will automatically follow that link. for you. But you might have seen this already in generator or similar browsers. This is how usable that looks like. As you can see, it's just usable browser, but it has tabs at the top, so you can choose another tab. It also has a lot more events and commands it watches for. Like, for example, you can write into the sockets, open this page in a new tab, but don't focus it, or do focus it, or put the new tab in the beginning, stuff like this. You can programmatically change the contents of your usable tab window. This is just an alternative view for usable tabs. This just shows all the pages as GTK buttons on the right. Remember I told you about the geometry changed event? You can do some really cool things with that. Rob Manea, the guy who wrote Dzen, he's also contributed for usable. He wrote this thing. It uses the XMonad spiral layout, and basically what it does is it changes the zoom level depending on the geometry of your window. So the bigger your window is, the less zoomed it is, and the smaller your window, the more it zooms out, so you can still see the full page. So this is how you could add a bookmark. Just define a keybinding. The spawner script. That script could, for example, be Xenty. Xenty is just a simple GTK tool that gives you these widgets. It automatically populates the URL for you. You can add some tags to it. When you press OK, it will write the entry into a plain text file. But also, an alternative way to do this is just to use the status bar itself, which is pretty advanced. So this is just a more fancy binding that gives you like a prompt in your status bar. This is what we call the bind plugin, and then you know you can enter your tags and do it from the usable browser itself. I was going to go all over these alternatives because they're also pretty interesting. I don't have much time for it, so I suggest. If you like some of the ideas of usable, but not the whole thing, because it is a specific thing, you have a lot of alternatives. Some of these projects are inspired by usable. Some of them are just, you know, just lightweight browsers or simple ones. I will upload my slides so we can talk about this later. There are some limitations with our current way of doing things. I think the biggest problem is that we have done a bit too much ourselves, I guess, in the way that we have our own configuration language, we have our own keybinding system, you know, with all the events, and then you handle those events. We should probably just use the GTK keybinding stuff for like other applications. It would simplify some stuff. And also the configuration language can get messy. Some people have proposed to just use Lua or even JavaScript. We need to think more about this. Actually, it's been discussed all the time. So performance. I don't know if this is a really critical problem, but if you use a lot of shell scripts, and if you spawn a lot of processes, then of course it won't be as fast as say Google Chrome or something. Of course, you can't have both. You can't have total freedom to write your own scripts, and you can't have super fast performance. I prefer the total flexibility stuff. We used to have a usable JavaScript object. This was very powerful. It allowed you to use JavaScript to execute commands on your system. But we had to save it because it was a security problem, and we are just waiting for the isolated roles feature in WebKit. That's just a feature to help alleviate this problem, but the WebKit guys still haven't done it in WebKit GTK as far as I know. But once we have that, we can bring the usable object back, and then from JavaScript you will be able to execute your commands on your system. Okay, so this is the website. We have a bug tracker and stuff, we have a mailing list. Any questions? Yes?
I haven't missed this part. Does it usually support like HTML5?
I believe so. I don't know in which degree, but for this we just rely on WebKit.
Okay.
So I don't know what the exact status is of WebKit HTML5 now.
Probably the most advanced model development.
Sorry?
It's probably the most advanced model development. Well, Chrome is about it.
Yes?
Well, you just install and use it.
You just install it, right? Or what?
Yeah, I just to see how it works.
Okay.
And it's like usable, and then it comes up and then it dies.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Just got that. Okay, so what, maybe usable browser, it's like usable browser, came up and dies. But if I type usable Google, then it's happy to go somewhere. But if I type usable.hammer.ca, it will die again. So
yeah. This is a problem with compatibility problem between WebKit and Java. The current workaround for that is to change your Java runtime environment. You probably have the Sun GRA installed. If you remove that one and you install OpenGDK, then it will work.
I got the same error as you did, and I'm running OpenGDK.
Yeah,
you are running OpenGDK.
Yeah, I saw the error come up in the shell here.
Okay, maybe I should come to you guys.
That's fine.
We can discuss
it's
about
it. Not, you know what? It's not bad.
Sorry?
I'm looking at the thread, and it's not bad. Actually, if I press Control C, then it quits. So what happens is somehow it starts,
yeah.
And then it goes into some sort of hidden mode.
Well, I see it going on the usable website. Stays there long enough and then it goes away. But if you go like Google browser, space it like google.com or something like that, it works. I'm not sure if Humberg's like using some kind of Java on their website, but I don't think Google's using anything special.
Yeah,
that's probably why it goes.
I'll join you guys and then we can figure out what's wrong. Yes?
Just to get a little better idea of how this works, could you just sort of outline saying how a feature like, like JSS API adaptation or something might work? Are you familiar with JSS API?
No.
If you wanted to do something else where you were interacting with, if you had to pass a particular sort of credential to some website, what would the
SSL, for instance?
Well, SSL, I guess that's a different story. Are you talking about like sending data with your HTTP request, like post data, or?
So JSS API was the thing that I was thinking of, which is a thing we use Kerberos implementation, and then.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it. I don't know exactly how it works.
Yeah. So it's a. I can't think of another good example of something else, but it's a. I can chat a little more about it later.
Yeah, I guess it depends mostly on how exactly, what data you should send, or we'll talk about this. But the SSL is actually, it's good that you mentioned it, because SSL supports, currently we have no way to check the validity of SSL certificates. So this is a feature we need to work more on, like to actually check if the certificate is valid or not, to maybe give you a window, like, do you want to accept this problem or not? This is something we still need to work on. Okay?
Has this performance compared to like Firefox?
Sorry?
Has this performance compared to like Firefox? And? Has this usable compared to Firefox, performance-wise?
And? What's your, what do you notice?
I'm asking you about one here.
Oh, sorry. I would say usable is faster.
But it's less memory?
Sorry?
Is it less memory intensive?
Oh, memory, measurement is such a thing that's often going wrong, right? Actually, I didn't really pay attention much to memory usage. We all know Firefox can consume a lot of memory, but Usable also can consume a lot of memory in some applications. I don't really have numbers, and even if I would have numbers, they would still be pretty meaningless because memory management is so hard to get right.
So it's not browser tested by CNET?
Sorry? CNET?
Yeah, they browser tested.
I don't think they've been usable yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you should ask them.
I'll
email them.
I wonder how
it works.
Dan?
How is working with WebKit? Is it pretty
it sounded like
good experience? Or?
It sounded like a good idea at first. We have run into some problems, yeah.
Do you guys like submit a lot of stuff upstream? Do you don't make assumptions or no?
I just don't want to get into the WebKit code because this is the reason I chose WebKit, because I assumed this is something that works, right? I don't want to worry about the browser engine. I just want to write a browser that uses the library. But WebKit has some problems, like the GDK problem now. I don't know who's to blame here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter much. It's not that advanced. WebKit is pretty nice to, you know, for basic stuff, but some things are like still. Yeah. But you need to find a compromise between lightweightness and between something fully featured. I think I would still choose WebKit after all.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else.
Well, there are some lightweight engines like Tillow, I think. Anyone heard of that?
Tillow is too lightweight.
I did consider it at first. It seems pretty nice, but yeah, don't have everything out. Okay.
So how tied down to WebKit is usable right now?
Sorry?
How tied down to WebKit is usable right now?
Very. People often ask, can you port it to Mozilla or whatever? This would mean you need to rewrite usable core 90% of it. Because almost all of the code is just interfacing with the engine. That's pretty much all. The remainder of the code is just like interfacing with external scripts and stuff, but that's very small. The main stuff is just interfacing with all the WebKit APIs. More questions? Okay, well, thanks.